Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Well, let me introduce myself. I'm not Crudy. I'm Matt Rothschild. I am with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and Crudy's been kind enough to let me sub in here for him and Dom, who are out on vacation this nice Friday. And
you mean lucky enough to let you sub in?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to today. I've been looking forward to it all morning and all afternoon. And I welcome our listeners here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM in Madison. Listeners in the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha and Waukesha 540 AM. And folks up in Wausau. I love Wausau. I love going up there and giving talks and seeing people on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM and WXCO 1230 AM. And also now in Wisconsin Rapids, locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Quite a day for news today, both here in Wisconsin and in Washington, or shall I say in Florida. So it's Area Grievances Friday. We'll be taking your calls at 1-844-967-2789. But at the start of the show, I wanted to bring on a favorite guest of mine and a friend of mine, too, Scott Ross, Democratic strategist, pundit, social media slugger. Scott Ross, how are you doing, my friend?
Good. What's happening? How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I wanted to get your take on Voss and Gableman, because I got to give you credit. I was seeing you on Twitter on Monday night or Tuesday morning saying when Voss wins, assuming that Voss wins his race, and boy, was that a close call. How long would it take Voss to fire Gableman? And Voss fired Gableman today. What do you make of that, Scott?
Well, I think, you know, knowing how, you know, Robin Voss, the first thing he does in the morning is check my social media feed. I am sure that he held off on firing him just to spite me, because I said he'd fire him either Tuesday at 8:01 or Wednesday morning.
So, yeah, the spread was Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. So he outdid you. But tell me this, though. I mean, he had said Tuesday night that he was going to wait till he talked to the caucus next week, the Republican caucus, in the assembly that he heads, and he didn't wait for that. He didn't wait for a Tuesday meeting. Why not?
No, I think a couple things. One is that, first of all, Voss never intended on discussing this with his caucus, unless by caucus you mean the 14 people who work in his office at over $1 million a year for taxpayers. I think Voss, you know, was Gableman was gone. The second that he endorsed Voss's opponent, he was gone. And it just shows you that, you know, you can take a dump on the Constitution, you can violate the state's open records laws, you can waste $1 million of our taxpayer money on a ridiculous and provably false big lie conspiracy, but you cannot endorse Robin Voss's opponent. That's when you get to have actual consequences. And that's exactly what happened. But again, you know, Robin Voss has long operated as though the laws that apply to you and I do not apply to him. He's operated like that as a member of legislature, as the speaker, and certainly now as, you know, the most powerful elected Republican in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, he took a little chin music from Trump and Gableman and Adam Steen, but, you know, he ended up, as he always does, somehow seeming to survive. And he will go on to annoy us all and violate the ethics and principles of the state of Wisconsin for years to come, I am guessing.
Scott Ross, I love it. It took Voss till Tuesday night to figure out that Gableman was an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to visit Mike Lindell, and the Cyber Ninjas wasn't an embarrassment, and not knowing anything about election laws wasn't an embarrassment, and not abiding by our open records law is not an embarrassment. It's just, you know, if you campaign against the speaker, that's an embarrassment, a fireable offense.
Yeah, let's not, Matt, we would be remiss, you and I would be remiss, if we also didn't mention how you can also insult a woman because of her dress, and you can also determine someone's political party by whether or not she has a nose ring, a snake, and lives with her boyfriend, as Gableman did in both of those instances, right, when it comes to, you know, to the election commission. And, you know, that's the thing that drives me crazy about all of this and shows you, like, how far we have gone. Because, you know, the predecessor, again, we all know, your listeners are savvy, they know, that the Wisconsin Elections Commission and with Wisconsin's Ethics Commission was created because the former Independent Government Accountability Board went after Scott Walker for violating the state's collusion laws when it came to allegedly independent groups. And following that, you know, after Mike Gableman proved to be the deciding vote to end that independent investigation, Walker and Voss got together and they created these two entities, which allow, for instance, you know, Robin Voss to be able to openly collude with his third spouse so far, who happens to head and fundraise for the independent group that attacks Democrats to the tune of, I think my last total was somewhere around $8 million. That she's been paid about $750,000 in order to fundraise for. And so, you know, we've gone so far because, you know, Gab was seen as like the entity, the end all be all entity. I had misgivings about Gab. I thought that the way that it was set up would preclude, you know, for, you know, if everybody had to be a retired judge, you know, we wouldn't have had like a black woman on, you know, the regulator panel until, you know, God, 20 years from now. But they got rid of Gab, they created this organization, and now they're getting to go out there on a daily basis to say that this is the organization that's corrupt, this organization, you know, can't do the job it was prescribed to do. And that's, again, how far we have gone, and why I think progressives have to be even more vigilant and relentless in calling nonsense to nonsense.
And it wasn't just, you know, Gableman has been attacking the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Voss himself has been attacking the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Every person running, including Tim Michaels on the Republican side for governor, wants to destroy the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And you mentioned that Gableman was disparaging the looks of a woman. The woman happened to be the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, who's very, very talented, very competent professional.
And who was essentially hired and approved by the Republicans, you know?
I mean, the thing about this whole Gableman-Voss thing is Voss hired Gableman. Voss didn't need to hire Gableman. He must have known that Gableman was already biased against an impartial investigation because Gableman spoke at a Trump rally after the election saying that bureaucrats had stolen the election from Trump. So he knew what he was getting when he hired him. And also he came around to regurgitating the big lie himself. Voss did after Gableman was spewing it all over the place. So Voss isn't to be held harmless in this thing at all, to say nothing of the $1 million he wasted of our money.
Absolutely not. And he, you know, remember, Matt, the investigation began because Trump called Voss out during the Republican Party of Wisconsin convention in 2021. Like that's how we got this point. There wasn't one there. You know, Voss, you know, 2 days before he basically said he would move forward with this Gableman deal, he was saying that, you know, hey, Trump didn't lose, was he told AJ Biotpour from WKOW TV that Trump didn't lose Wisconsin because of voter fraud. He lost because he had performed, you know, 250,000 votes less than the eight Republican candidates for Congress.
Right.
There might not have been eight, maybe it was seven or something like that. But that's what they were saying. Then Trump got on social media and started, you know, lambasting Voss, and then Voss caved, you know, like he has every single time with Trump.
Yeah, I mean, Voss was saying what Ron Johnson says on that ad that runs on Devil Radio all the time about, you know, if Trump had gotten only as many votes as the Republicans running for the state assembly and the state Senate, you know, he would have won. But Voss foolishly thought he could mollify Trump and mollify the Trump base. And Trump and the Trump base almost handed him his head on Tuesday night.
Yeah. I mean, the unfortunate thing about it is, though, you know, I mean, is that for the last, you know, the last year plus, we've now had to endure, you know, an almost daily, if not several, you know, several stories a week coming out of this fraud investigation that generally are about the Republicans advocating for the big lie. And, and so they have been driving the message on this. So there are people who are so radicalized right now when it comes to voting in the state of Wisconsin on the Republican side and insisting literally, I mean, just this, if a Republican doesn't win, it's fraud. And as you see in Voss's case, because his opponent hasn't conceded, if the Republican you like doesn't win, it's fraud. You know, it's not just like the Republicans versus Democrats. It's Republicans versus Republicans. And I guess the thing that we can take solace in is that these lunatics are fighting each other and maybe not quite looking on what the real prize is, which is a full takeover of state government, which would involve basically, you know, them creating laws that would prohibit Democrats from ever winning a race in the state of Wisconsin again, for the most part.
And they have a raft of anti-voting bills that they're ready to pull off the shelf. As Voss himself said today when he was firing Gableman, he wants to move on to the elections here so they can defeat Governor Evers and then bring off the shelf these anti-voting bills that they ran through the legislature last time around. But you're right about this, the anti, just the craziness at the far right in Wisconsin that the Trump base believes in. And this is so toxic to our democracy, this undermining of the legitimacy of our elections. And it's hard for us to go forward as a democracy, as a civil society, with that kind of toxicity that's in the air that Trump has circulated, that Voss has circulated, that Gableman has circulated, and they're all responsible for it. I hope you can hang around. I want to talk politics with you, the race between Evers and Michaels and Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson. If you can hang on, can you hang on, Scott?
Sounds good, Matt.
Great. This is Devil's Advocates Radio, 92.7 FM in Madison. We'll be right back.
You're a cheat and a swindler.
Bye, Felicia.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road.
So Michael Gableman's hitting the road, Jack, and good riddance to Michael Gableman. What a circus act he was. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in for Dom and Crudy here on Devil's Advocates, which you're listening to on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, Madison, WTTN 1580, Madison. Also the Shaw, 101 FM in Waukesha, and Waukesha 540 AM. As well as up in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and WXCO, 1230 AM. And in Rapids, Wisconsin Rapids, that is, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. Thanks for joining today and listening to the show. And I hope you'll call into the show. It's Air Your Grievances Friday. The phone number is 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And with me for the next few minutes is Scott Ross, Democratic strategist, pundit, social media slugger. You don't want to get into a fight with Scott Ross on Twitter, let me tell you that. Scott,
Other kind of fight is okay. Every other fight you want to have with me, but just not on Twitter, I guess.
I'm not for fighting. I'm a lover, not a fighter, but I do like to mix it up verbally and on social media occasionally. Scott, I saw a nice picture of you and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes on social media. Tell me about the race that he has going forward and whether you think he's going to win.
Well, I think what we learned over the last month was that in every corner of the state, you know, people know that Mandela is the strongest choice to defeat Ron Johnson. And that's the most important thing, because he is the most vulnerable incumbent Republican senator in the country. And, you know, Mandela is going to do what he did. I mean, he was an organizer and an advocate before being the lieutenant governor. And he is building this grassroots campaign of Wisconsinites who are ready for a leader with middle-class roots who is going to put working families first. It's something that we haven't gotten from Ron Johnson. You know, Ron Johnson is somebody who, you know, whose father-in-law gave him a business and whose father-in-law's business was his largest customer for two decades. Ron posits himself as some kind of a business leader. But, you know, that's not who Mandela Barnes is. Mandela Barnes is a proud product of Wisconsin's middle class. His mom's a teacher, as you probably heard, a public school teacher. His dad was a third shift auto worker. And he spent the last, you know, his career helping people, working for people, not Ron Johnson, who's been working to give, you know, people like his three biggest donors, the Ulines and and Diane Hendricks, what will amount to $500 million tax break that Ron Johnson also will publicly benefit from, a very special tax break. As you remember, Ron Johnson, when the Trump tax cuts were being debated, suddenly became a public holdout on it until they put in the special tax exemption that Ron wanted for himself and for his two largest donors that, you know, have given at least $20 million to him in 2016 and have now, you know, put millions of dollars into to this latest effort, and no doubt will eclipse the $20 million they spent in 2016.
Yeah, they've got this new PAC that's going to throw millions and millions of dollars at Mandela and to try to keep Ron Johnson in there. They know what side their bread's buttered on. So does he. And so, you know, it's quite a parasitic relationship they've got going there. And Ron Johnson has been friends of the multi-millionaire class. That's who he goes to bat for. But he's also been such an embarrassment. And I just got to believe that a majority of Wisconsinites are sick and tired of the Ron Johnson antics by now. I mean, his stuff on COVID, he was a COVID denier. He was telling people to use ivermectin, you know, and then most recently he's depriving people of affordable insulin and he wants to put Medicare and Social Security on the chopping block. I don't know how this guy can win.
Yeah, I mean, just think about some of these things. You know, he called Social Security a Ponzi scheme, and he won up that by now saying that Social Security and Medicare, you know, benefits that people have, you know, our seniors and our coming seniors have paid into, he now wants to put those at the hostage whims of the Congress every single year. You know, he accused Tony Fauci of overhyping COVID-19 and AIDS. He claimed the top 1% are paying their fair share. You know, you talked about the things he said about COVID. I mean, I think you forgot this one, Matt. Remember when he said you could prevent COVID by drinking Listerine? You know, that's not to mention the fact that he was the number one, you know, other than maybe Josh Hawley, the number one terrorist insurrection senator advocate in the entire country. And he said that he never felt threatened by rioters. But, you know, if they were Black Lives Matter protesters, he would have felt threatened. I mean, this guy is a joke. There's a reason why he's at 36%. And I think you know this better than anybody, you know, because I know you talk a lot about, you know, the dirty money that Ron Johnson took. But, you know, a lot of the media wouldn't pay attention to that in 2010, 2016. But now, because Ron Johnson has so upped his game in terms of the lunacy, you know, people now know him. They know him in the state of Wisconsin, where they didn't in 2010, and they really didn't in 2016. And that's why he's at 46% approval. You know, he is the most vulnerable senator in the country. And the best part of all of this is that he's facing someone who could not be more diametrically opposed to him, who could really break some barriers in the state of Wisconsin, and that's Mandela Barnes, who has a long record of public service, getting the job done. And he's proven in the Democratic Party for sure that he's the guy that Democrats think has the best chance to beat Ron Johnson, which is the number one priority of a lot of Democrats here in the state of Wisconsin. That is not to underestimate or undersay how important it is that we get Governor Evers reelected.
Yeah, I mean, Ron Johnson is just a laughingstock, but I'm hoping that Mandela Barnes is prepared for all the ugliness that's going to come after him. Do you think he'll be able to handle that all right?
I do. I think, you know, Mandela has some pretty tough skin. He does his work. He gets the job done, and I think he's going to do it. I think he'll take a lot of oncoming. I think the dog whistles are going to be air raid sirens from the Republican Party. But I think I think the people of Wisconsin are going to prevail and elect Mandela Barnes, our next U.S. Senator.
All right, Scott Ross, thanks for that prediction, and thanks for joining me on The Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back after the break, and you can join in the conversation by dialing 1-844-967-2789. See you later.
Don't you come back.
Oh, now, baby, please.
Don't you come back.
Well, see you later.
What are you trying to do to me?
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Just the other day, and they said you were gonna put me on a shelf. But let me tell you, I got some news for you, and you soon.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Dom and Crudy on this Friday afternoon. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're getting ready for a nice weekend. I got some news for you. We're gonna talk about the warrant down in Mar-a-Lago in a little bit. But first, I want to take your calls at 1-844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. We've got Andy on the line. Andy, what's on your mind?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised that he met when you're holding on to the reins for Dom and Crute. And I don't really have a grievance today, but I would say it's imperative and behooves everybody to, when November 8th rolls around, we've got to get these two candidates in to beat Rojo and this Michaels, who is sort of a loose cannon and you know, kind of keeps whatever control we can in the state of Wisconsin so that we don't have, it's bad enough as it is, but it would have a real catastrophe if we had a change in the governor's race right now or from Tony. So
yeah, Tony's been the backstop. Tony's been the goalkeeper. I hear you, Andy. Andy from Beaver Dam. I think I met you in Beaver Dam at one of the events that Dom and Crudy were having.
Yeah, it's over the year ago, and then I think I saw you briefly at the Jade Monkey last year also, but I think you were over there once with Crudy or something. But yeah, well, just keep up the good work and everything, and we'll just keep punching, keep fighting this battle to get our state back into the shape that we need it to be to help the common person and not a bunch of aristocrats.
You got that right. We got to save our democracy here in Wisconsin and around the country. We've got to protect our freedoms, our freedom to vote, especially here in Wisconsin, because, the Republicans in the legislature were aiming at our freedom to vote when they passed a lot of those nasty anti-voter bills that Robin Voss was bragging about today when he fired Michael Gableman. In case you haven't heard the news, Michael Gableman's gone, by the way. Voss didn't wait till next Tuesday to get rid of Michael Gableman. He fired him today. Voss thought he could ride the tiger, but the tiger almost bit his head off. And that's where we are. I'm taking your calls now. Thanks, Andy. I really appreciate it. Hope to see you again, either up in Beaver Dam or down here in Madison. The phone number to call is 844-967-2789. I want to talk with you, the listener, about the major story of the day nationally, and that is these warrants at Mar-a-Lago and what they found or what they are trying to pin on Donald Trump. And one of the things that I didn't know until I was reading the story here at the Washington Post is that one of the things they're looking at is Trump for violating the Espionage Act. The warrant said it is seeking all, and now I'm quoting, physical documents and records constituting evidence, contraband, fruits of crime, or other items illegally possessed in violation of three potential crimes, including a part of the Espionage Act, outlawing gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. The warrant also cites destruction of records and concealment or mutilation of government material. You know, I just glanced at the Espionage Act a few minutes ago, and I saw this interesting little passage. I mean, you don't need to be working as a spy for the enemy to be guilty of the Espionage Act, because there's this little juicy piece in the Espionage Act. Anyone who, through gross negligence, and doesn't that just typify or epitomize Donald Trump? Anyone who, through gross negligence, permits national defense documents to be removed from their proper place of custody, guess what? Fined $10,000 and 2 years in jail, 2 years in prison. How do you like that? So that's what Trump is facing if they indict him on this violation of the Espionage Act. They wouldn't have gone in there. I'm sure Merrick Garland would not have faced all this ugly right-wing music if he didn't have a airtight case here. So I want to hear what you think. 844-967-2789. Give me a call, either about these warrants or about what's going on in Wisconsin, whatever's on your mind. We have Joel Hunter here on the line. Joel's on the line. What's on your mind?
No, this is CJ, and the mere fact
CJ.
That you want to make it. Yeah, this is CJ from Stoughton.
And yeah, CJ, I've been wanting to talk to you for a while, CJ. You know, I don't get on very often, but I'm kind of happy,
well, thank
happy
you for
called.
Taking, yeah, thank you for taking my call. The mere fact that you would like to make it and we're focusing on this Trump thing is a mere desperate move, because we're living in a Democrat world. That's why Ron Johnson was right about the Russia, Russia, Russia collusion. It was proven to be the Hillary Clinton.
All right, CJ,
campaign.
CJ, I'm going to interrupt you. I want to have a conversation with you, CJ. So just take your breath, take a deep breath. Now, I've heard you call in a lot of times before, and I'm going to give you credit for one thing, and that is that you didn't approve of the ransacking of our Capitol on January 6th. Am I right about that? Is that correct?
I didn't approve of the ransacking of our Capitol.
Yeah, the January 6th riot by the insurrectionists. Am I correct about that? I thought I heard you say that one time while I was listening to Devil Radio. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think people that did wrong there are going to be charged, so I don't think that's an issue.
Well, but it is a big issue, though. That is the big issue to me. I'm going to have to cut you off here, CJ, because that to me is the big issue. I wanted to have a conversation with you, but you don't want to have a conversation. You don't want to have a conversation about culpability for January 6th. Well, let's talk about January 6th, and let's talk about the investigation of Trump. Not about your talking points.
Illegally, it's all about January 6th, so I do agree about that. But they illegally raided his home.
There was nothing illegal about the raid. They got a judge to sign off. They dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. You know, are we a nation of laws or are we a nation of men? Is anybody above the law? Is Donald Trump above the law? Or does he have to face the music like the rest of us?
The red wave is coming. Because this is about the Democrat world of
CJ, you just keep singing that old tired song, and you can't use Democratic as an adjective. You have to use the pejorative Democrat. That's pathetic, my friend. Adios. We've got Barry from Waukesha calling in. Barry, what's on your mind? Give me something.
Yeah, just certainly make your points about someone being above the law, but I guess as a rebuttal, what do we do about Hillary Clinton and storing documents on a non-approved server?
Well, Barry, I mean, Hillary Clinton was investigated six ways to Sunday, and she lost her presidency because the head of the FBI improperly intervened during 10 days before an election to say, we're going to reopen the investigation of Hillary Clinton. And then after the election, found nothing. And then he said, oops, sorry about that. I mean, it's not like Hillary got away scot-free. I mean, Hillary lost the presidency of the United States because of the investigation that turned up nothing.
Well, we're talking about criminal charges, though, too. And so, I mean, there's blood on the hands of both sides here, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make. So,
well, Barry, I do want to listen to you a second and get your opinion on what happened on January 6th, though, because to me that's the big litmus test. If you're for democracy, you can't be for what was happening on January 6th. where I think we lost you. But to me, I will have a conversation with anyone who is a Republican or a conservative who recognizes or admits that what happened on January 6th with this was disgraceful. If you can't admit that, though, we don't really have any common ground to talk on. But I do believe there are a lot of Republicans, and it's my mission really to talk to some Republicans who recognize that January 6th was an atrocity and should never happen again in this country, and that we got to preserve our democracy. We've got Jeannie on the line. I'd love to speak with Jeannie up in Eau Claire.
We all love to speak with Jeannie.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm blushing on the other end here, even though smoke's coming out my ears.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Where to begin? I mean, hey, you've been doing such an... I've been following you for years, and I've been mouthing off for years of what the Republicans have been doing. I mean, these new Republicans, I mean, they beat out the old Republicans. I can't believe it. You know, I hate this fascist.
I mean, you got that right, Jeannie. I'm worried about a neo-fascism here in the United States. This total disregard for the norms of our democracy is something that keeps me up at night. But I love hearing you when you call in, Jeannie, so I don't want to take your time. Talk to me.
Oh, well, that's okay. I love listening to you, but I had to call in because, you know, I think, you know, now I'm on the other side of the state. We've got a little spot called Mondovi, Wisconsin. Anybody down there that can educate people in Mondovi, Trump signs all over the place. It's still unbelievable. There's a lot of areas on our side of the state that are not getting the information. I call probably a lot to my TV stations of all the things that have happened in the state of Wisconsin that they don't even cover. I mean, there is so many lies and deceptions and power grabs and things that, you know, I personally, I was an independent my entire life. I voted for the person, but boy, I'll tell you something. I could never vote for a person with an R after their name, and I'm 67, again, in my lifetime, because they have gone so far to the dark side, and power grabbers and liars and cheats, and it's like, it's unbelievable. So I am so thankful for the work that you are doing, and please keep it up, and thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks so much, Jeannie. Jeannie up in Eau Claire and Mondovi. I love driving up to that area, too. It's beautiful. Part of our beautiful state. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in for Dom and Crute here on Devil Radio, Devil's Advocates. You can air your grievances. It's Air Your Grievances Friday. I'm encouraging you to call at 844-967-2789 and join the conversation. We have a few callers here we're going to try to get to. Mark up in the sack.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's kind of sad when intelligent discourses, which CJ spouts off the same talking points he's been doing for, you know, for 22 months or however long, you know, Trump has been out of office. It's just sad.
And he didn't want to talk. He didn't want to converse. He just wanted to rant. You know.
He never does want to talk. He never, you know, that. And Dom challenges him all the time, saying, you know, you can, you know, that. So give us. Actual facts. You know, what is a fact here? Well, Donald Trump was clearly involved in the insurrection. I mean, it's not even questionable anymore because they, you know, that and you know that he just doesn't want to. He just wants to talk. He talks about the red wave that's coming. Well, the red wave that's coming is, you know, prep. You know, if they have their way, they're going to wash away democracy. I mean, these guys are, you know, as Hamilton warned when he closed out the Federalist Papers, is that there's people out there that don't believe in the national government in any possible shape or form, you know, as we currently have it. They want to have a neo-fascist state where they're in charge, like guys in charge, they're large and in charge. And
but Mark, I don't, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't think they're going to get away with it. I don't think they're going to get away with it because I think this, the more evidence that has come out through the January 6th committee, the more evidence that's coming out through this search warrant down at Mar-a-Lago, the more people are going to understand that Donald Trump is a grifter, that Donald Trump is a criminal, that Donald Trump needs to be indicted. And I believe that the air is going to start leaving the Trump balloon anytime soon here, and that he is going to, at some point in the next couple of years, just be a pathetic figure and the worst president of the United States. He'll go down in history as that, and our democracy is going to survive. But it's got to survive with work, because we all need to defend our democracy at this very fragile time, Mark. So I thank you for that call. I want to get to a few more callers. So again, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I do want to get to David, who's been holding for a little bit. David in Madison.
David. Thank you. I just
want we got about 1 minute.
Sure.
Okay. All right. The thing is, with the propaganda machine, Fox News, and now with Trump saying that he's been cooperating with the search and whatever, but will he throw people under the bus to save himself by saying, oh, I didn't know that these documents were top secret?
Yeah, David, thanks for your call. I think he will throw anybody under the bus to save his life. That's how he operates. Everybody is indispensable. That's the kind of creepy guy that he is, and there's no way he's going to change his spots now. But we'll be back in a little bit. Please join. Call 844-967-2789. Matt Rothschild on Devil's Advocates. Happy to be with you.
Will this institution survive the stench?
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Hey, Matt Rothschild subbing in for Dom and Crude here on the Devil's Advocates on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, and on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM Waukesha, and then up in Wausau on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM and WXCO 1230 AM, and also Wisconsin Rapids. Rapids, as we call it in this state, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. I'm happy to be pitch hitting here for Dom and Crute. I just want to give you a heads up that at 5:06, I'm going to have Representative Francesca Hong on with me. She's on that audit committee. She's one of those Democrats who asked for an audit of Michael Gableman. So we'll talk about that, and we'll probably talk about the governor's race, too, with Representative Francesca Hong, who is one of my heroes. But I encourage you to call in the next 10 minutes, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And let me know what's on your mind, either about what's going on here in Wisconsin or the big Trump warrant and seizure of documents. We have Dick in Madison who's on the line. Dick, what's on your mind?
Matt's been a big fan for a long time.
No, thank you, Dick.
Progressive Magazine. Real quick, I'm wondering why this happened at all with Trump. Because there's a law in the books, the Presidential Records Act, that came out after, you know, I know you know all about it, but right after Watergate in the late 70s. It was signed into law in 1978, and it says that White House records and property they belong to the federal government, not to the president who created them. So why was he even enabled to take them with him in the first place? This guy has skated on so many things. You know, and then another real quick thing that just happened this week that amazes me, these Republicans are on the attack constantly, on the FBI even now and on law enforcement. And then just this week, John Bolton thanked the Justice Department for saving his life, which they did between the FBI and the Justice Department.
Yeah, Dick, thanks for the call. Sorry to interrupt, but you're absolutely right. I mean, this defund the FBI stuff coming out of the Republicans, Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, is just absurd. And you're right about the Presidential Records Act. I mean, Trump was able to do it just because he, you know, thinks he's above the law and thinks he can get away with anything. I mean, he told us he could get away with murder on Fifth Avenue, and he's gotten away with everything his whole life because he's had all sorts of money to sue people who got in his way and bully people and threaten people and lie. That's his whole MO.
And our institutions are boxed in by norms, right? It's acting in good faith, you know,
that
a president
right,
won't
Evan.
Come
I mean,
and
our,
just take stuff.
You know, this system of checks and balances that we're told is so great in third grade and seventh grade and high school social studies class. Hey, it's not so great. We almost lost the whole democracy on January 6th. And it's still pretty fragile right now today. So you know, this idea that we're going to survive because of this brilliance of our founders. Hey, we need to survive because all of us as activists, as citizens, as defenders of our democracy are going to defend our democracy and not wait for some fanciful rescue from our long gone founders. That's not going to get it done. But the thing about Dick's call that surprises me is that this warrant wasn't citing the Presidential Records Act. It was citing the Espionage Act.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's really throwing the book at Trump. Again, the Espionage Act says anyone, among other things, anyone who through gross negligence permits national defense documents to be removed from their proper place of custody can be fined $10,000 and sit in the pen for 2 years. So I think the indictments are coming. I think this was the first shoe to drop, and I think there are other shoes to drop. I think they're going to throw all the shoes at Trump, and he's going to be indicted on a whole, probably a dozen counts or more. But let's go to our callers, and I encourage the callers to call. All of you who want to call and talk with me, 844-967-2789. We got Wisco Paul on the line. Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. My quick grievance is Gableman and Boss spending north of $1 million on election fraud that does not exist. And then you had a gentleman call in and said corruption, I think he said, is on both sides. Well, the Democrats are not squeaky clean, I'll admit that. But to my knowledge, at least in my lifetime, I've never seen Democrats carrying fake electors around. I have never seen them involved in an insurrection like January 6th. I've never seen them investigate an election that was, for the most part, clean. In fact, this state is squeaky clean. And the Republicans are, I've said this before, are the ones that set up the way we vote in this state. Actually, made it harder because supposedly there was busloads of people coming up from Illinois to vote, you know, all that story goes. So, okay, we have problems on both sides, but not that kind of problems. This is serious things. I don't know who the Republicans are anymore, but this is very, very serious.
You know, Wisco Paul, it's a great point that you make that I know there's cynicism out there about politicians of both sides of the parties. You know, everybody's this, everybody's that. But there is a qualitative difference between what maybe some Democrats did and what these Republicans did on January 6th and what Donald Trump did in his office, the only president of the United States ever to say he's not going to have a peaceful transfer of power. And he meant what he said that time. He wasn't lying. He wasn't for a peaceful transfer of power. He did everything he could to overturn and destroy our democracy on January 6th. And he needs to be held accountable for that. No Democrat has ever done that or done anything close to that. We've got about 2 minutes left. I want to go to one more call. Ron in Madison. Ron, are you there?
Hey, Matt, I am here. I'm in complete agreement with you. As a former Air Force Reserve officer, what happened on January 6th was nothing less than an attempted coup d'etat. And when you combine what was going on there and the fact that some of the people in the crowd were wearing body armor and had weapons, and all of the facts that have been developed by the January 6th committee, I don't know how anyone cannot see it as an attempted coup d'etat.
I think you're absolutely right, Ron, and thanks for the call. I mean, it was a coup. It was a violent insurrection. It's going to go down in history as the most shameful act in our entire democracy after the Civil War anyway, maybe with that possible one exception. And Donald Trump will go down as a scoundrel of the highest proportion. And for that, he needs to be accountable. We need to make sure that this man doesn't get away with the crimes that he committed and that no president ever gets away with doing this ever again. We need to have a peaceful transfer of power. We need to have respect for our elections. We need to be not be the worst spoil sports in the history of competition. I mean, Donald Trump and his backers are like the bad athletes and their parents who are out yelling at the ref in the parking lot. And it's been 2 years after the game ended. Come on now. Get over it. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm summiting here for Dom and Crouton, having a good time doing it here with Evan. It's Devil Radio, Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back with Representative Francesca Hong after the break. Please stay with us.
You're stealing. Right to jail. You're playing music too loud? Right to jail. Right away. You're driving too fast? Jail.